2 Peter 1:2 says this. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Okay, I see the whole church for 2,000 years trying to build their faith. Yet Scripture clearly says you've obtained it. See, the whole church is still trying to get somewhere, and they need to get the revelation they are somewhere. They're justified and in Him. They're everything's reality. That's why, you know, you've heard me say this, but the whole faith message has been so bastardized. It's terrible how it's taught because it's killing people. I've been around the best of the best of the best, guys, and I just don't see it. You know, when the veil's turned off, I see their life, and I don't see kingdom of God is what? It's not meat and drink. It says it's what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You ever seen faith guys joyful? I haven't. They're angry. Because the works of the flesh, anger, strife, murder, etc. Most Christians are Ishmaels, and they don't understand it. Ishmaels, we have to work for something. The promise, Isaac's, goes, you know what? If you're still under the old covenant, it says you're an Ishmael. Throw that bondwoman and that thing out. The new covenant says, guess what? We're sons of the promise. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to labor and have all those kids. That's what it says. And I don't know why people can't understand this stuff. So it says, you've obtained like precious faith. How? Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? You've obtained it. How? Through Him. Hallelujah. Now here's the next part. How many of you guys want that same thing to happen to you that's happening to Doug right now? Okay, here's the secret right now. How many of you guys want His supernatural anointing, supernatural favor, supernatural grace, supernatural multiplication in your life? Verse 2, let's read. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. You know how the kingdom comes? Through knowledge, through metanoia, through changing your mind, through changing your heart. Isn't that good news? Now what's really good is because it was prophesied in the old covenant, says, I'm going to replace your stony heart. And said those stones were written, what you can read different translations, it says, but with a diamond bit, and they're written on stone. How many guys know it's really hard to change that writing on a stone that's written by a diamond bit? Hard to change it, isn't it? And see, if you still have this old covenant mindset, you can't change. It's written in a stone, and that thing will kill you. That's why it says in Corinthians, it says, listen, the old covenant was written and engraved on stones. It's the ministry of what? Death. But the Spirit, believing the right things, is what? Brings life. In the old covenant at Pentecost, the law was given on Mount Sinai. And what happened? 3,000 people died. Why? Because it was written on stone and it kills you, is what it says, right? But the new covenant at Mount Zion, when the Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost, what happened? 3,000 people lived. See how easy this is? So how many of you guys want grace and peace multiplied? We need to know the knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. So I'm going to give you the knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. We're going to expand your heart. We're going to expand your borders so you start living in the kingdom right now. Does that help? There's nothing for you to do. It's everything for you to believe. It's a spiritual thing, not a doing thing. Man, that'll just stir the self-righteous people through the roof. But someday they'll go, you know what? I want to experience the joy that you guys have. I want to actually be able to pay my bills. That'd be wonderful. Wouldn't that be good? All right. So can we do this, Jeff, or no? Can I do the slides? If not, you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way with your own Bible. I know you don't have them because you're a New Testament church, but my girlfriend's got her Bible. Yeah, you got your phones if you got your phones. So, hey, it's good news. It's good news to be believed. That's all it is. And I'm going to show you through Scripture. Man, you got to just keep hearing the good news. Keep hearing the good news. Keep hearing the good news, right? Are we good to go? And I blew this. How experience? I actually am a little bit educated, but that doesn't look like it. So, how experience the kingdom of God? What's missing there? How to experience the kingdom of God right now, amen? So a lot of people are waiting for something to happen. They're waiting to go get anointed. They're waiting to do something. Yet, what did Jesus say? Let's read this. Mark 1:14. Oh, can I just back up? Because it was coming to me as we were worshiping. Let's see, this is the old covenant, the pictures. You know, Jesus said, Hebrews 10 says, the law are types and shadows of good things to come. And then Hebrews 11 says what? It's not going to come anymore. It's now. Does that make sense to you guys? But how the word of faith teaches it, if you had faith, it would happen now. No, it happened 2,000 years ago. Everything up to then was prophesying to something good things that were going to come, and those are types and shadows of Jesus. But now, Jesus is the fulfillment. It actually happened. It says, now faith is the title deed. And then how will people get the title deed unless they told they have the title deed? When you're told to build your faith, it'll actually kill you. Now, that's controversial. But unless you tell them you've already obtained it, it's hard to believe you have it if you're still trying to get it. Does that make sense? Because you're always on this roller coaster. Sometimes you're I'm in faith, and the next time you're like, God, I suck. I'm not in faith. How many of you have been on that roller coaster? Yeah, so what we do is we renew our mind daily. Don't be conformed to this eon, this old world system where I have to do good to get good. The new one is I have to believe right to get good. Okay? So, anyway, the Old Testament, what happened? I'm just going to give you a couple pictures and then share what's going on here in Mark 1. So, when the judgment was going to come with Noah, right? It was clearly a picture of Jesus. It says Noah was a perfect man. How many guys were perfect men? One. That's a picture of Jesus, right? And this will rattle you guys too. Stephen Melton and I were talking about this at fellowship the other night. So I said, after the flood, who was left behind? The people that were in Noah. You want to be left behind, guys. I know these movies are trying to scare you, but if you're not left behind, you're in bad shape. And says it's going to be like the days of Noah. There's this warning. Things are going to happen. There's this judgment. This flood's going to come. And the only people who are in Noah, the ark, the only people in Jesus, the eight, the new beginning after that, the people in the ark, the people who are in Jesus. Follow me? If you're not left behind, you're bumming. I know it doesn't sell a lot of movies or books, but it's the truth. Amen? One will be taken. Thank you, Lord, that I was the one left behind. So, because it's going to be like the days of Noah, I don't want to drown under the flood. Does that make sense? And how long did the flood last? There's a 40 period, an age, an eon's only 40 years, right? So, but after the flood came, they sent out a raven. What happened? Eventually it didn't return. Why? Because ravens feed on what? Death. There's no more death. But what did come back after the floods receded? A dove. Amen? You guys get this? So, now let's go to this. And we saw Elijah and Elisha. We talked about that, right? Elijah was a type of picture of the Old Testament. And then when they went into the River Jordan, right? Elisha got what? The double anointing. The spirit of Elijah fell on Jesus. That's why it says, you know what? The judgment fell on Jesus. So when Jesus... Now let's go to Mark. See, we all know this now. Is even then, when the, you know what? After the, let's go to another type in shadow. When they crossed the Red Sea, actually before they were going to cross the Red Sea, how long were they in the wilderness? 40. There's always 40 is always an eon, an age, right? So after the lamb was slain, how long were they in the wilderness? 40 years. And now it says, hey, Moses, your servant is dead. It's time to cross over, Yeshua. What were they going to cross over? The River Jordan, right? And so when the high priest stepped into the water, we've studied this. I'm just giving you all the types and shadows because it starts to make sense. Is when the high priest stepped in the water was backed up to what? Adam, a city called man. All the judgment was reversed. And then the ark even came to rest on Ararat. You know what Ararat means in Hebrew? The curse is reversed. Hallelujah, man. I got all these Bible teachers, they can't figure out their own Bible. Because it's not that hard. They're trying to mix covenants and it doesn't work. They don't understand what they're even reading. I go, so now, there was a type and shadow. The minute the high priest brought the ark, which is, who's the ark a picture of? Jesus Christ, right? The minute the ark went into the River Jordan, what happened? Waters backed up to a city called Adam and they walked across on dry ground, no judgment. Amen? You guys get this? So if that was a type and shadow, what was the real one? Let's read. Let's read Mark 1, okay? Let's say, let's start at Mark 1, verse 9. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan, right? Now, we've talked about this, but John the Baptist was the son of who? Zechariah. What was Zechariah? High priest. So he was the lineage. He was going to be a high priest, right? But he wore sackcloth, hairy. What was that a picture of? Hairy, the old covenant, right? That's why Esau was hairy. And we covered that last week. That's why he said, I hated Esau, I loved Jacob. That's a bummer if we're taking it literally. Like, He hated this guy and his other son he loved. Why? Because Esau represented the old covenant. He goes, I found fault with that old one, is what he said in Hebrews. But Jacob I loved. As soon as Jacob believed the gospel, what did he turn into? Israel. It's always been Israel is the believers. The fleshy Israel has never been Israel, is what Scripture says. Isn't that fascinating? There was first a physical, which gives you types and shadows of the real one, which is you and I today. You guys get this? All right, so John the Baptist is wearing hair. Hairy dude. I'm trying to make this easy so you understand this stuff. So he walks into the River Jordan. The ark steps into the River Jordan. Who's the ark? Jesus Christ. He comes under the floodwaters, the judgment, right? And when he comes out, does a raven come feed him or does a dove? People are trying to talk about all kinds of crazy stuff with Elijah and ravens. I go, you don't understand what you're even talking about. There's no more death when you cross over the River Jordan. There's going to be shalom. The dove lands on his shoulder. And now we got New Covenant preachers going, be careful because your dove might fly away. No wonder Christianity is so confused. Amen? What he's saying is after the floodwaters, after the judgment, after Jesus, the true ark went into the River Jordan, it's trying to cross over. Hebrews, it's trying to cross over. Let's go into the New Covenant. Moses, your servant, is dead. Joshua, you can bring him into the promised land, the New Covenant. Right? So you guys see what's going on here? Okay, so Mark 1, verse 9. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from of Nazareth of Galilee. So he's the ark. He's the ark that's going to step into the River Jordan. John the Baptist is the high priest who's going to step into the River Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parted, and the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven. My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hey guys, he is so pleased with you. That's what Doug Bishop was just saying. That's the new covenant. The judgment's gone. Now he's poured out his anointing on all flesh, what Peter talked about at Pentecost. This old covenant that brings death is over. The new covenant that brings life is here. He's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, not just the prophets, kings, and priests. You guys get it? How many guys know that happened? That happened 2,000 years ago. Now we receive the Spirit, which brings life. But I've seen a lot of people praying in the Spirit that are dying. So what's up? I'm just going to ask you to be honest with me as we go through this. Is that okay? Because, guys, I've gone through this, and I'm like, Lord, I think they're missing something. I really do. I've seen people praying in tongues for 10 years, and their life didn't get one iota better. So what is it? I'm going to share with you. You guys know I've got the answer. Is that good? Okay. If I just left you there, then you're fine. So, all right. And immediately the Spirit drove them into the wilderness. Just, hey, guess what? After the Israelites crossed, they were into the wilderness for 40 years. What had to die before they could go into the promised land? Moses, your servant is dead. Joshua, it's time to go over. See, Moses couldn't lead him into the promised land. How many of you guys know the only way Moses could see God's face is he had to be put into the cleft of Jesus? He couldn't see his face because he represented the law. He goes, it's impossible for you, Moses. I got to put you into the cleft of the rock. So he can redeem Elijah and Moses because all of us are redeemed the same way into the cleft of Jesus. We have to be in the ark. Hallelujah. Isn't that cool? So, isn't that fun? All right. So now we get to this verse. So, now after that, John was put in prison. Bummer. Jesus came into Galilee preaching what? Gospel. What does gospel mean? Let's just be really, really practical. The good news, the incredibly good news, the incredibly too good to be true news. That's why religious people will fight you on it. Because they want to be self-righteous. They want to go, no, that prostitute isn't as good as me because I don't do those sins. But Jesus said, if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of them all. So you're a prostitute. Well, no, I'm not. Yeah, you are. If you're going to judge yourself by that. Be careful how you judge, because if you're going to judge by the old covenant, you're all judged. If you're going to be judged by one's righteousness, you're righteous. I would accuse you, choose the new one. The new one's much better. He preached the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. Isn't that what he said? The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is right here. All these things, these good promises that you've been working for, like Hebrews 10, these are types and shadows of good things to come, but now it's come. That's the same. He's saying the same thing as Hebrews 11. But now the title deed has come, the ownership, you're a joint heir, you're a son, he gives you relationships that we can understand. You're a bride back with your groom, man. We're at the marriage feast of the Lamb. We're there. Hallelujah? Okay, so, and he's saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe. So how do we experience the kingdom? You got to hear the good news. The good news is the last Adam redeemed all of you. He's your redeemer. He's your restorer. He is your wisdom. He's your riches. He's your everything. What's true about Jesus is true about you. Hallelujah. If I'm a joint heir, then I'm a joint heir. Right? And what can keep me from the joint heir? A stony heart. I can't believe that about myself because I know I'm still sinning this morning. Does that make sense? And I'll go through maybe Mark 4 next week where, you know, the parable of the sower. Gosh, it's so easy. And Jesus says, if you can't understand this parable, you can't understand anything. And I've rarely heard a pastor understand that parable. So that's why you can't understand the whole thing. Does that make sense? I go, how do you know this? I go, I don't know. He's just good. He's showing me that he's good. And it's not that hard for me. So the less stones I have in my heart, I mean, you guys know what? Jesus' resurrection, what was rolled away? The law, the stone was rolled away. And guess what? Now we can all go boldly to the throne of grace. Everybody, that's what David's tabernacle is. See how the Bible fits together? There's no death anymore. He goes, you've come to a living way. We don't have to sacrifice anymore because there was one sacrifice that was perfect. Now there's no outer veil to keep the Gentiles out. All you do is go straight into the throne room of God. And what are you going to find there? No stones. The stone was rolled away. The law is not there. What are you going to find? Mercy and grace when you need it. How does that sound better? Instead of this kind of preaching. Robert, the reason this is happening to you, I'm going to fix all that for you guys today, okay? Because the how you experience the gospel of the kingdom is you believe and you repent. What does repent mean? Change your mind, not stop sinning. In fact, Jesus didn't say stop sinning. He said repent, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees, because that form of doctrine will kill you, is what he said. Right? Didn't he say that? So repent means metanoia, where we get the word knowledge. Meta, change your knowledge. The old covenant says, hey, the cares of this eon, this age, in Mark 4, will keep the good news from bringing up in your life. What's the cares of that age? They needed to do the law. That's literally what that means. And we still preach it like it's, you know, you shouldn't be worried about this, and you shouldn't be worried about that, and all this, and, you know, you shouldn't be worried about that. You can't listen to this music because that'll do this. And you could, those are cares of the world. Because you're going to think you have to qualify. And the deceitfulness of riches, we'll talk about that. Does God want you to be rich? Of course he does. So deceitful rich of riches is not what they even talk about. I'll share that with you. The deceitfulness of riches was simply this. I heard this quoted in the Word of Faith Forever. Deuteronomy 8:18, you probably all know it, right? Maybe not. Good. Maybe you don't have as much to overcome. So, but as they were going to go into the promised land, he said, listen, I've cut a covenant that you can be rich, but I swore it. It's not, he warns them. He goes, listen, when you go into the promised land, I've cut a covenant that I swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How many of you guys know Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were not under the old covenant law? They were under Melchizedek priesthood, right? And what was that? Melchizedek comes to Abram. He goes, listen, in blessing, I will bless. There's no if, then. That came at Mount Sinai, which that caused people to die. But the Melchizedek priesthood, he said, Abram, I've got a new program in town. I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people, and the world's going to see how awesome it is to be in covenant with me. And what did Abraham's response? Probably what all of her responses would be. How will I know that's true? And what did he tell him? It's going to be true because I'm going to slay a three-year-old lamb. What's that a picture of? How can we know all this is true? Because the three-year-old lamb, Jesus, was cut off 3.5 years into his ministry. Not for himself, is what it says. But he will cut a covenant with many. Amen? See, it's all types and shadows. You guys understand that? All right, so this gives us the first clue. The kingdom is not tangible. That's what it says. Hey, the kingdom of God does not come in by observation. I see a lot of people trying to experience God by doing right and obeying right. Those are the angriest, grumpiest people I know. They'll worship, they'll sing, they'll be totally excited. Then all of a sudden you get into the Bible, gnashing of teeth. Right? Why? Because that old covenant law stirs you up. If you're an Ishmael, if you have to work to be good for God, you know what it brings? The works of the flesh are obvious. They are anger, strife, murder, adultery, all this stuff. Does that make sense? That's why religious people scare me. They scare me because it's going to be evident what's going to come out of them. But the fruit of the Spirit, believing that I'm righteous, is what? Love, joy, peace, self-control. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Does that make sense? All right. So the kingdom of God is not tangible or something to do. He says that because the gospel of the kingdom, John was put in prison and it came to Galilee preaching. What is preaching? What do you have to do? Do you have to obey preaching or what do you do with preaching? It gets into your heart. I'm trying to expand your heart. All right. And saying the time was fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Change how you believe and believe the good news. Follow me? So, it's not something new. It comes through changing your mind. That's what literally repentance is. And belief that something is already true. Does that help you guys? So, here's the bottom. I'm going to get to the end from the beginning. I'm just be like Genesis. All right? I'm going to tell you the end from the beginning. And it's simply this, is you have to start believing that you're already righteous. You have to start believing you're already prosperous. You have to, in Revelation 5, it says, "What worthy is the Lamb to unlock the seals that all man was under, to receive honor, glory, power, riches." Guess what? If I'm a joint heir of that Lamb, then am I worthy to receive all those? Yes. What if you sin this morning? Doesn't matter, man. Ooh, that'll get you thrown out of most churches. That'll get me all thrown off an elders board. Yeah, amen. I don't want to be part of that. If it becomes religious, I'm out. She knows that. I go, I'm out of this gig. Just because you can't do it. And that's what, even the whole Paul, everybody's telling them, hey, you guys, why are you trying to put the law on the people? You yourself can't fulfill it. Why are you putting that heavy yoke on them? You yourself can't do it. Does that make sense? They're the daughters of Abraham, bowed down by 666, 18 years. And what's Jesus' message? He didn't go, what sin are you committing? What did he say? Ought not this daughter of Abraham be lifted up? Because she's a daughter. She's back in the kingdom. She's not under the law. 666, man. Does that make sense? Man was created on the sixth day, but there's going to be a new way, the seventh. And then out of that, there's going to be a new beginning. So the eight people are in Jesus after the flood's gone. What happened? There's a new day. Hallelujah. See how all scripture fits together? All right. You guys getting this? So this is going to help you. So if you guys have promised, if you've done any of these things, and this is where, just be honest with me. Okay? You don't have to raise your hand, but think about this. Have any of you go, why isn't God answering my prayer? Why does this always happen to me? Why does this always happen to me? Why does I feel the same thing over and over and over? Why do relationships always end this way? Right? I've been sowing seed and I'm still struggling with money. Now, it's a tough one for people, but I've seen people sow into the man of God for 20 years and their income hasn't changed for one penny. In fact, they're usually more broke. Is that true or true? It's going to get me thrown out of most churches, I'm telling you. Why isn't God healing me? Right? Now let's get to some more truth. If it's about praying in tongues, do I pray in tongues? Yes. But if it's about praying in tongues, I've seen people pray in tongues over and over and over, and I've seen their life not change. Would you agree with me? I've seen secular guys that go, tongues? What's that? And they've got a great marriage, they're kicking butt, etc. And then I see the tongue talkers in church, and what's happening to them? They're starting to get sick and broke, getting angry. They used to be joyful. They used to be pumped up about life. They used to, man, life's just good. And all of a sudden they go, yeah, but now you got to stop doing that. Don't eat this, don't touch that, don't do this, don't do this. Is that true or not true? I've got more prosperous friends outside the church than in it. So if the answer is tongues, see, I still think that's second dimension living, personally. I think that you're still in the holy place. It says you haven't come all the way up into the holiest of holies. There's an outer court, there's a holy place, there's the holiest of holies. I think there's a better life. And you experience the full kingdom by simply believing you already have it. I'm already righteous. That's the number one thing a believer needs to know. How do I get somebody out of addictions or whatever they're struggling with? You know how? He's not mad at you. He loves you perfectly. He's well pleased with you because Jesus came up out of the water and the Holy Spirit went on every one of you. He's well pleased with you. You're a beloved son in the kingdom. Does that make sense to you? And you're still an Ishmael if you're still trying to work for it. Look at this. I don't do this anymore. They go, yeah, but you used to be joyful. Now you're not. Can I just be honest? Is this true? Yep. Let me ask you this. I know this is controversial, guys. But at some point, you just got to go, how long have you been doing this? 35 years? You got more people that you know prosper that are outside or in it? Outside. Of anybody, should we be kicking butt? You know why we're not? Because we're still putting legalism on them, and legalism kills. It makes you weak and beggarly. It says, why are you still playing around with those weak and beggarly elements of the law? That's not preached, but it's true. I've seen the tragedy of people sowing into people. Right, Laura? God told me 60 people need to give $1,000 tonight. I look at Laura and go, don't do it. Let's spend it on a Yankees game instead. Let's go have fun and have joy. Does that make sense? Well, God will bless you if you do this for the kingdom. Not even close. Not even close. Because the Melchizedek priesthood says, in blessing I will bless. Huh. But that kind of teaching will keep them broke. The very teaching that they think, and they're doing it all of a righteous heart, guys, I understand. They're thinking they're doing the right thing, but they're killing their guys. They're killing their flock. They really are, in my opinion, okay? So I would go, keep your grand. Because the new covenant is supposed to be out of a revelation of, man, I am already rich because Jesus made me rich. I want to give out of that understanding that there's an ever-lending flow because I'm a joint heir of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When I come from that revelation, it says, he makes all grace abound to me. So I know my business is going to expand. I do all this stuff, no matter what I do. Because the Melchizedek priesthood, I will bless. I promise that's how I'm going to do it. How can I know that? Because the three-year-old heifer was slain, just like Abraham. That's why it never says the blessing of Elijah has come upon you. It says the blessing of who has come upon you? Abraham. Why? Because Abraham believed God and it was counted to him in righteousness. Moses tried to do good and he goes, you can't get into the promised land. You got to die first. Then once you die, you can be put into Yeshua and now you can go over to the other side. Does this help? I'm going to get some hate mail, I know, but that's all right. So I just ask you to be honest. That's all I'm asking you to do. Man, I was like, I'm going to get some gnashing of teeth after this one. You know who will struggle with it the most? The whitewashed tombs, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the teachers. They will. They just will. It says the Ishmaels, the ones who are trying to be good and righteous by themselves will always persecute the guys who just, I just receive it by grace, guys. I believe I'm righteous, holy, kicking butt. And if, you know what, if I'm not perfect like none of you are, I'm still righteous, perfect, and holy, and blessed because he said I'm blessed because I believe in him, in the gospel of the kingdom, and I'm just going to receive it. And you guys can go over here and commiserate and talk about everything, and we're just going to go win. Amen? Does that help? Okay. So, hey, the reason you're trying to do this is because you're still trying to qualify. Let's keep going. Proverbs, this is what Doug was talking about. Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ear into my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life, Zoe, Jesus himself, for those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Jesus said the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, which was all the Old Covenant scriptures, are what? Him. Says, you're trying to find life through Moses. You don't realize Moses testifies about me. Does that make sense? So, how do you guys know all this is fulfilled? Hey, ladies, this will give you some freedom. Now, if you got a religious husband, they're going to really be mad at me. They'll probably never. All of us are Proverbs 31 women because we're all brides. We are that already. Because of Jesus' perfect work on the cross. Hallelujah. We put women under such condemnation with that nonsense. I'm a Proverbs 31 woman. It's true. If I'm his bride, I better be a woman. Well, I guess not. In some states, it doesn't matter, right? And I don't condemn them. I love them, honestly. I'll sit down with them just as fast as anybody because they... You know who receives the gospel? The sinners. I didn't come to save you self-righteous, man. I came to people who are sick. The righteous people go, I'm not sick, look at me. You're sick. You're not even fun. Right? Isn't that true? The worst thing in my life is to go to a grumpy Bible school. I just won't do it. Just no. Like a Bible study. Hey, why weren't you at the Bible study? Because you people are boring. You guys are miserable. I want to go out with the sinners who are kicking rear end. And they go, why do they make this so hard? I go, I know, I'm a father. I won't make it so hard for my kids. I will not do this ridiculous faith thing. Go, hey, Solomon, the reason I'm not taking care of you as my son, because you got to build your faith. Social service will throw me in jail for that in this country. Yet we think our Heavenly Father acts like that. He is love personified, guys. Hey, you're all messed up? I know, but I see you as perfect in Christ. I love you so much, I sent my own son so that the judgment won't come on you. It came on Jesus. He went under the water. And after that, all the judgment was walked as if it never happened. Went all the way back to a city called Adam, and then the dove came. And the charismatics go, but your dove might leave. Be sensitive, because your dove might leave. Oh, God, he left. Yet Jesus goes, I'm going to send you the comforter, and he'll never leave. He can't leave. Amen? Amen? There's sin in the camp. That's why he left. No, you just believe he left. He never left. Does this help you? I know, I'm trying to step on some religious toes and just experience him, who he is today. Does that make sense? You know, it's so funny because yesterday I was flying, no, it was 2 days ago, I guess. I don't know which state I'm in or anything anymore. So sorry, Doug, and some of you guys. I'm like, I'm just not. We're gonna go kick butt and make millions and billions and just demonstrate the kingdom of God. That's just what we're doing right now. Amen. And we're healing the sick as we go. So there was this lady. I'm not going to share her religion. She's sitting right next to me, and I had this book. Don't get it because it's really bad, actually, because it says Jesus on every page, but he's a legalist. And I was like, oh, looked good. He was talking about all the types and shadows of Jesus. Some of it's good, but I'll save you the time. Okay, don't read it. Because a lot of you guys, what's he reading now? I go, I'm not going to tell you most of the stuff I'm reading because half of it's mixture. I'm just trying to find the stuff. Guys, it is almost impossible to find pure grace. I'm doing my best to preach pure grace. Now, I'm sure I'm not perfect, but I'm doing my best. You guys, does that help you guys? Okay, pure grace brings life, right? So she sees this book. She goes, you religious? I go, no, I hate them. That doesn't sound very Christian. Jesus hated them. He says, you whitewashed tombs, you high priest, you're a son of the devil. I go, no, I hate him. She goes, oh, because I came out of this religion 6 months ago, and you know, I had some friends that weren't in church, and they have been out of the church for 6 months, and I met them the other day, and they go, we're the happiest we've ever been. Now, hopefully, I'll make you more happy by coming. That's not the goal. Does that make sense? But hey, all you latte sippers online, I love it. You should never feel condemned. I want to make you feel good that you desire to come, not go, I'll never go there again. I don't want you to have to knock your husband and wife in the seats, go, see, honey, stop doing that. Does that make sense? Because if I am, Jesus, who is our perfect lover, says, I keep no record of wrong. So what's the secret of a good marriage? Know that first you got to know he keeps no record of wrong of you. He loves you perfectly, even though none of you deserve it, including me. I know we act like we're good, but we're miserable. We really are. You know, does that make sense? But once you really get that, God, he loves me despite every one of my flaws, now there's a rest for my conscience, and now I can love other people. Right? So he goes, listen, now I can keep no record of wrong for people. Am I perfect? No, I want to hit people with a bat a lot of times still. But I get it. That's when I got, I'm just being honest. Does that make sense? My wife's incredible at it. I'm not. I'm not as good as she is. That way. I go, honey, how do you love these people? She goes, I just know. I'm like, oh, God. I go, she's right. Does that make sense? But it's irritatingly right. I mean, you guys know that. I love you tons. She knows that, right? Right? Were you the one that said you couldn't like her because she didn't eat French fries initially? That was you. I don't know if you've ever seen Barb sit at a table and eat, but it's like this. And so we didn't eat French fries. The first time you met us, she's like, she must be so stuck up, she doesn't eat French fries. I go, no, she eats French fries. So isn't that weird how we think about some things, you know? That's truth, isn't it? We eat lots of French fries. The greasier, the better. See, is there cholesterol in that? That's synonymous with good to me. It's like fat and stuff. It's like that, finally something that tastes good. Man, I go to Home Foods and I starve if I go in there. In fact, my kids go in there and go, Dad, what smells? I go, health food. It's like, doesn't that Whole Foods smell? It's got a weird smell to me. Doesn't it? Do you see people full of joy going into Whole Foods? See, I love to, I don't know, it's the orneriness of Jesus, because I remember this, we had our Hummer, we're driving in. So I'm driving my Hummer into Whole Foods. And there's a petitioner outside. Hey, we're doing this to save the world and environment and this, and will you sign this? I go, no, I drove my Hummer here. Does that count? So it's really cold in Colorado. I'm trying to do my best to heat this place up. Think about it. If it wasn't for global warming, how cold would it really be in the winter here? So that's what I would do. They go, did you bring your own bag? No, I want double plastic, and I drove my Hummer. It's miserable here in the winter. I just like to irritate them that way. Does that make sense? See, that's more fun to me. Do you recycle? Yes. I throw in the Pueblo Reservoir. And it's recycling. And if you like doing that, go do it. I don't care. Go do it. I know I'm righteous without doing it. Does that make sense? I'm not condemned. He's an unlimited God. My stuff isn't going to run out. There's more oil now than when 10 years ago they were trying to sell me on peak oil theory. There's more now. Isn't that true? But somehow it's going to run out. Conserve your water. I want to water my grass. As much as I want. We got to move because the covenant people are telling me can't water our grass anymore. I go, all right. So, my whole point, that got off on a tangent, sorry. So Jesus fulfilled all this stuff. So now when I read it, guess what? Because I've seen people get killed by this. Get into the word more. Get into it day and night. I'm like, it doesn't balance with, he gives me as my beloved even when I go to sleep. So it's easier for me to sleep than be miserable awake. Which is it? Jesus fulfilled is what he said. Amen? So now when I find who, I find life. The words of Jesus. When I find that, guess what? It brings health to my flesh. Does that help you guys? You know what? The Gentiles all were healed easily that came to Jesus. The religious ones, he couldn't do it. Why? Because they had a stony heart. They believed my healing was if I had enough faith. And Jesus goes, no, I am the title deed if you've got me. So what's the words of Jesus? The words of Jesus are simply this. You're perfect. You're righteous. You're holy. I'm not judging you. You're perfect in me. I can't love you any more than I love you. You can't get any more anointed than you're anointed. I've seen people run after the man of God and try to touch him and fall down for 20 years. Can we just be honest again? The same people are still falling down. Their life sucks. So if that's the answer, I don't want that answer. Where's the answer come? I believe it's the third dimension. Hey, there's a higher place, like in the book of Revelation. John's saying, come on up a little further. Come up, because he's in the holy place where those candlesticks are to the church. He goes, come up all the way. See, I believe I'd rather live in divine health than have to have the gift of healing. Do you all have the gift of healing? Of course you do. But wouldn't it be better to not need it? See, I want to know the giver of the gifts, not the gift. Does that make sense? I see people running around. Oh, I got a touch from God. I go, yeah, but you still can't pay your bills. No, I'm praying that I sowed into the man of God. You still can't pay your bills. Can we just be honest? I know this is very controversial, guys. How do you receive the kingdom? Believe I already have it. He's going to bless me if I do this for the kingdom. No. In blessing, he will bless, period, whether you do it for the kingdom or not. You know what? When you have that love of him, you know what you're going to want to do? You want to do good for the kingdom. But I know if I don't give to the kingdom, I'm still just as blessed as if I do. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? That's the truth. The more you feed on Jesus, he goes, I'm the bread of life. I'm the water. I'm everything. Hey, feed on me. Right? Jesus' first miracle. Nobody understands this. They all teach it. Fill the potter pots with water. What happened? He goes, my time has not come. What's he going to do? Hey, those were ceremonial wash basins where they had to wash their exterior to be cleansed. And he says, you know what? Get rid of that. Fill the water pots with water. Are we not water pots, earthen vessels filled with him? Hallelujah. We don't need something in there that's going to wash us from the outside. We need him inside. Does that make sense to you guys? Hey, get rid of those old ceremonial washings. Fill the clay pots, you and I, with me. Hallelujah. Which wine is the celebrations, the new covenant. It's the, this is my body and the blood of the new. Is that right? You guys get this? Does that help you? All right. But what's taught is, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Jesus goes, no. Fill the potter pots with water. Take those, and you know what? I'm going to turn that water into wine, celebration, new life. Isn't that cool? I just love the new covenant. It's beautiful to me. So don't depart my words. Incline them into my sayings. So who was the word that became flesh? Fill yourself with Jesus. You can spend 20 years getting into the word more and never eat of him. I see lots of people more joy not into the Bible than they're in it. I'm just trying to be honest with you. I've got sinner friends. I've got righteous friends. The righteous friends are more fun. I mean, they're less fun. Now they boast. Right? Yeah, but look what I did for the kingdom. Does that mean we can't watch the Bronco game today? What does that mean? No, you should see all the good I'm doing. And? I'm just being honest. Is that fair? It was time for us in the body of Christ to do it better. Because we have the promise. The one thing they don't have is a cleansing for their conscience. That's what we have. We're ambassadors for Christ. What's the next verse say? With the gospel, the good news of reconciliation. I see a lot of faith guys teaching, be ambassadors for Christ. That means, hey, believe as much as we believe, get anointed as much as we believe, do this, do that, do that, do that. And that's not it. The gospel of reconciliation is, hey, you sinner, God's pleased with you. You're completely righteous. Ah, that brings life. Because if we feed on that, we bring life. Does that make sense? Okay, let them not depart from our eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them. Why are you not being healed? I had the man of God pray. Listen, we've prayed, all prayed for people. They've been healed immediately. And there's a lot of people like, why isn't he healing me? It's a condition of your heart. I'm telling you. You feel dirty, guilty, fleshy nonsense because you're still sinning. And I would just say, welcome to the club. He didn't give you that heart that's governed by the stones anymore. He gave you a fleshy heart, which we can change. That's what I'm going to show you how to do this next. Is that fair? How do we change our heart, our boundaries of our heart? You know how we do it? We put the good news in. That's what Mark 4 says. The kingdom of God is like a seed. The condition of your heart is how it's going to grow. Some 30, some 60, some 100. Has nothing with your doing anymore, guys. That program is over. Moses died. Now it's time to cross over the promised land. It's now the time. Jesus is the new program. Yeshua, Joshua. Moses couldn't take them over the river Jordan. Yeshua had to take them over the river Jordan. The minute the high priest stepped into the water, the judgment, get what happened? All of it, we all now walk right into the holiest of holies in this dry ground. There's no judgment anymore. Isn't that what it all says? Okay, why isn't that taught? You won't believe how much hate mail I'll get from pastors because of this. Hey, tell a homosexual they'll go into heaven. That'll get you thrown out. Stop reading Romans 1. Go to Romans 3. So listen, you guys without the law were a mess. You guys with the law were a mess. Romans 3 says, all of you are a mess. Without me, you can't get in. But now, because I'm in, you're in. I hear that they read in Romans 1. And it says, listen, those under the law were guilty. Those without the law were guilty. All are guilty. You need a Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? You know what the only thing that's going to get them out of those challenges is the good news, because their heart's going to start changing. You know, he loves me perfectly. Yes. Ah, now I can hear him. I don't even know you go to a class for 10 years to hear him. They got such a stony heart, they can't hear him. So we got guys going, 10 steps to hear the voice of the Lord. You can't hear him because you have a stony heart. He talks all the time. He goes, I want to be in a love relationship with you, not a stony thing. Does that make sense? Okay, now you'll hear him clearly after a while. You won't have to go, did I hear you? Go back to where he hears you. If they knew that, they can't hear him because of your teaching. You got him under such judgment. Right? In blessing, I will bless. You're under the covenant. You're under the high priest of Melchizedek. There's a change of law, it says. If there's a change in priesthood, by necessity, there has to be a new law. And that law is, by one man, you've been perfectly obedient forever. Read your Bible, guys. Right? Bring everything to the obedience of you? Christ. What's the obedience of Christ? He fulfilled this perfectly for me. I'm a Proverbs 31 woman. Hallelujah. Here's the thing. When you start hearing that, you'll do all those things naturally. But the world's trying to teach you, ladies, do this. And then they go. And then we try to cast the spirit of Jezebel out. Because it's irritating them and they're ticked off. Right? Isn't that true? Hey, when we were trying to cast Jezebel, she's like, well, some farm words came out. So, your dad ever used those, Sulin? A couple. Right? Hey, when we find Jesus, they're life unto those that find him. His words are this whole thing. He says, this is my logic. This is my rhema. And it's all a picture of who? Jesus, Yeshua, salvation. So when you find salvation, I'm already redeemed. I'm already sinless. I'm already righteous. Now it's going to heal my flesh. Does that make sense? That same spirit, the old covenant spirit, the disciples didn't understand it. They go, Jesus, should we call down judgment on this village? I see pastors get up here and go, Lord, remember this one? If you even steal a pen cap, you're going to hell. So my kids are with me. They may steal a pen cap, I don't know. You know, they might find a pen on the ground. They go, awesome day. Hey, they hit the Coke machine and two Cokes came out. Then I got in the church, they go, how many guys when you were a kid and two Cokes came out, we were like, fired up. You get in the church, you go, put that back with a note. And tell the owner of that because you don't want to steal it. What the? The kid was joyful. Isn't that true? I got to the Air Force Academy. We will not lie, steal, or cheat. And they did that Coke machine analogy. I was like, wait a minute. So if I hit the Coke machine and two Cokes came out, you may not can't drink the other Coke. What? Yeah, we will not lie, steal, or cheat. I'm like, you whitewashed too, man. Right? So I might get kicked out of this joint because I'm probably, unless you would have told me that, I would have gone, fired up, honey. They gave us two. Isn't that true? See how legalism kills you? Starts to condemn you. Now you start wondering, did I do everything right? You mean I got to even worry about when I go to a Coke machine now? What? That doesn't give me life. It starts to condemn me. Because then you start wondering, what if I did something else wrong? What if I did something else wrong? Yet the old covenant sacrifices are for sins you don't even know. I didn't even know I was sinning if I took two Cokes. But guess what? He was the perfect lamb that was slain, so he covers it all. All right, so keep that heart with all diligence. Why? Why do I need to worry about my condition of my heart? What Doug shared it perfectly. Why? Because if you're praying and not being healed, it's a condition of your heart. If you're sowing into the man of God for 20 years, you've been sowing in the kingdom, and you still can't prosper, what is it? Is God withholding it? No, it's a condition of your heart, and I'm going to show you this very clearly. All right? Why do these relationships always happen that way? Because there's some guilt back in there that the law is condemning you and making you feel dirty, that you can't receive the goodness when it comes. That's why I said in Isaiah, it says, listen, the good's going to come and you won't even be able to see it because you got a stony heart. Right? The lepers, the sinners go, hey, tomorrow at this time, stuff's going to be cheap and there's a lot of it. You know what it said? Who are the lepers? The sinners. But the religious people said, even if God opened the windows of heaven, that can't be true. Guess what? The windows of heaven were opened, is what we just read. And a lot of people are still going, that can't be true, what he's teaching. So they can't get the stuff that's cheap and free. They're still trying to sow for it, do for it, believe for it, get this over that, balance stuff. Does that help you? It's all true in the new covenant. That's what I'm trying to show you, okay? So, keep thy heart. Why? Wait, I thought it says keep the law. Keep thy heart with, protect this baby. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. How many guys now know it's not out of the doing anymore? Out of the issues of life, where does it come from? Your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I'll hurry up. I'm a little long. So, issues. King James says issues. It's Strong's 8444. It literally means plenty or strength. Keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it there's going to be your strength and plenty. See, if your heart is stony, if you don't believe that, if you're still under old covenant, it'll make you sick, weak, and poor, beggarly. So easy, isn't it? So the very thing you're trying to do to please God is making you weak and beggarly. How can this be? I've just saved you about 3 years of Bible school. Issues literally means totsa'a, from yatsa, yaz, Yahweh, right? Only in plural collective. It's your exit. Exit from what? Slavery. If the Son has set you free, that's what we're called freedom. You are free indeed. The legalists come back and put the yoke on you, so you're no longer free anymore. Does that make sense? All right. So it's your exit, or geographically, it's your boundary. So in the old covenant, he told all of the people that were crossed into the promised land to do what? Go as far as you can see. Walk around this thing. You know, as far as your foot shall tread, it'll be given you. So what do? That's mine in Jesus' name. That's mine in Jesus' name. That's mine in Jesus' name. I go, when are you going to get it? I don't know. I'm going to preach and keep going. Mine in Jesus' name. Mine in Jesus' name. And the Gentiles over here going, we're just kicking butt and owning it. Because the old covenant's not doing, he was telling them, those are types and shadows. So what's the new covenant? Hey, when you know what Jesus has given you, grace and peace are multiplied when you see what Jesus has given you. So we go explore his promised land, which is Jesus, but it's not something physical we go do. Does that make sense? And so it's okay if you're walking around preaching that stuff. It's just not working very well, probably, if you're honest. Right? How guys have marched around stuff, speaking at it, and never happened? I have. I was taught, that's how you do it. I go, this is really weird. You know, I used to just kick butt and let life work for me. Now I'm marching around preaching at things. It doesn't work as well. Because I was told it's not happening because you haven't had enough faith. Wait a minute. What? It says I've obtained it. You've obtained like precious faith. How? Through Jesus Christ is what it said. You've obtained the title deed. Faith is the title deed. But then everybody's taught, you can't get it unless you get this belief higher than that and do this and jump through these mental gymnastics, then you can enter the promised land. That old stuff's over. Hey, Jesus said, repent, change how you believe and believe the gospel, then you'll experience the kingdom. It's a condition of your heart. All right, so deliverance. Guess what? We can throw you in a stream, have some strange person. Oh, I found your deliverance prayer. Oh, here it is. They start chanting something over you. I'm like, how did that deliver me? You're going to have to come back for another session. Wait a minute. My deliverance comes from my heart. It comes from what I believe. My deliverer is coming, and it's not in that woman with 50 pages of books trying to get you to do something. It's not, here, you got to come back for 3 sessions because this is deep. The deep one. Your father was a something. Masons are the, you're really bad if your father was a Mason. You see how the nonsense? Jesus never taught any of this. As New Covenant pastors, teachers are teaching this kind of stuff. He goes, believe the gospel and you'll experience the kingdom. Repent, change all that stuff. Believe what you know. In fact, even in the 7 churches, I know this is, guys, you'll find life if you start living out of this versus trying to have some deliver or do something for you. Does that make sense? I'm just serious. You know what, I want a body of healthy people. Are we going to pray over you to heal the sick? Of course, but true healing starts to come. It says when you have the same spirit that raised in Jesus, what's the same spirit? All the judgment's gone, the floodwaters are gone, now I've anointed you with the Holy Spirit, the dove landed on you. In you, he's well pleased. You're my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Martin, we were talking about this today. Jesus hung on the cross. Who came off the cross? Barabbas. What's Bar? Son of Abba. Because Jesus hung on the cross, Barabbas is released. We're all released. We're the son of Abba. Because he hung. Now I'm a son back in the kingdom. Well, guess what? When you're bar mitzvah in the Jewish religion, now you're back into sonship in the house. Whatever's in the Father's house is yours. Right? You guys get it? Does that help you? Okay, so how are you going to change everything, guys? This is it. I'm done. I'm just getting rattled, but I'm done. I better hurry. All right. How are you going to change everything? It's a condition of your heart. And guess what? He didn't give you a stony heart anymore. He goes, that one can't be changed. In fact, if you did it, you had to chisel it with diamond bed. He goes, I've given you a fleshy heart. What's a fleshy heart? It's doable. It's pliable. It's changeable. Does that make sense? It's changeable. And so what Doug's doing is the answer to everything. At first, the very first thing you need to change about your heart is you're completely righteous in him. I'm forgiven. I'm well-pleasing, even though I look at myself in the mirror. I don't care if something happened in your past. Guys, I get it. God didn't do anything to that to you, but it's time to live in the new covenant. Amen. It's not time to just, why? It's a time to experience life and health to all your flesh when you feed on Jesus and Jesus only. Does that make sense? So what is that? I'm well-pleasing to him. You wake up in the morning, and the time you need to do it more than any is when you blow it. Right? Are we all flawed? Oh, yeah. I'm chief flaw. Forget who I was telling that to. I go, man, I'm like Paul. I'm chief flaw. You get these self-righteous guys up here. I hate it. I hate it. Because then the flock, you know what they do? God, if someday I could be like him. You know what? Those are the guys that just are eating themselves alive at home because they're preaching law and they know they can't live up to it. I'm like, I can't live up to it, so hallelujah. I'm chief flaw, just like Paul. But who will save me from the wretched man that I am? Romans 8 will. Now, thank God I'm in Jesus and there's no judgment anymore. The water's been all the way back to Adam and I have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. What does that mean? No matter where I go, I'm telling you how to renew your mind. No matter where I go, whatever I put my hand to shall prosper. It's never if then in Deuteronomy 28. It's yes, because in Christ, it's yes, but under the Levitical priesthood, it's if then. There's a change in law because there's a change in priesthood. You're back with Melchizedek, and he goes, in blessing, I'm going to do nothing but bless you. So what do we need to do? We need to change our heart to go, I'm worthy to be blessed because I'm in Jesus. I'm worthy to be rich because I'm already rich, is what it says. Right? I became poor so you may become rich. Are you healed? Yeah, if you feed on Jesus, that same spirit that I'm a son, I'm loved, etc., will start to touch your mortal flesh. Does that make sense? We've prayed for a lot of people and they've been healed. 6 months later, they're back in it. Why? Because they never had a change of heart to sustain it. Does that help? So, guys, so what all Doug's doing, here's what's amazing. So you can use a big number, whatever it is. Guys, how many guys want your finances to increase? Let's just be real. Well, you know, the deceitfulness of riches. No, you don't even know what you're talking about. I'll teach that next week. It's not that. The Jews were so rich, That's why they, because it was a covenant based on the covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're going to get to the promised land, you're going to realize you're rich, and you're going to think you're saved because you're rich. That's the deceitfulness of riches. It has not, that was all a salvation parable. It says, as soon as they believe this, they'll be sozoed. That's why when Jesus said, listen, I was preached like this, like, I want to be a business guy. I want to make a lot of money. Well, you know, it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven or a camel to go to the eye of a needle. I want to drop kick you right now. Right? I never worried about that nonsense before until I got around religious guys. Hey, in this country, you are all very rich. So what's the standard? As much as you got, nobody else? Where's the standard? I got it all. See, I'd rather have these people that are got 18 kids on a motorcycle trying to get to church walking. I'd rather have them all there drive their nice cars. Because it's easier, in my opinion. It's a comfort of life. Does that make sense? So which is it? So if it's deceitful, we should all drive our donkeys and live in a tent. Or put 18 people on a scooter. Because that's the third world countries, that's what they do. Right? And we go, if you sow into the man of God, that's how you're going to get a car. No, baloney. Because they've been doing it for 20 years. When they believe they're already rich and prosperous and healed and righteous because the gospel of the covenant, then they will start to prosper. I'm telling you, it's real. And if you don't follow me, Jesus didn't tell them to follow the law. He said, listen to my words. My words are, I didn't come to condemn you. I came to sozo you. Right? Feed on that. Does that help you? I know it's controversial. You still love me? I'm trying to free you up. Guys, there's nothing more than I want you to prosper and be in health. Beloved of all else, I want you to prosper and be in health. You're not going to get it by the old man. Trying to be good enough to deserve it. You're going to be by changing your heart, going, I am worthy. Man, I'm righteous. I know I've been a mess in my past. Guess what? You're still going to be a mess in your future. Get over it. No, you're completely righteous, and then you'll be less messy. It's true. You'll live a pretty good life the less law you're under. Can we just have a show of hands? How many guys, your life worked better until you came under legalism? I know mine did. As soon as I was told, don't do this, don't do that, stop doing this, everything used to work. And then I got into legalism because, Mike, you don't have enough faith. I didn't worry about it when I was over here. I get over here and I'm worried about it. I'm worried if my uncle did something because generation of five down, I got to find some lady to prophesy over me. What a weird father. See, if something's going on in my kid's life, I don't go, it's because your granddad got a divorce. That's why it says, no, because he's believing the wrong thing about themselves. What do I tell him? Solomon, I love you perfectly. No matter what you do, you're still my son. And I was telling Bear on the way here, I go, Bear, I just love you. You're so awesome. So I want you to know how proud mommy and daddy are of you. Does that make you feel good? Yeah. If you know my Bear, that's how he is. Where's the party? That would be his next thing. What am I doing? I'm giving him the words of Jesus. I'm sowing into his life. Does that make sense? So if there's something bad going on, I'm not going to go, stop doing that. I want to go get after the root. There's a condition of the heart that's messing him up. Follow me? Does that help you guys? So what was Doug showing you? How to be prosperous. Man, I'm worth this. 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 You're not trying to have enough faith for it. You know what you're doing? You're expanding your outer limit of your heart. Guard your heart. Don't get condemned because out of it is how far you're going to go. God's not withholding it. It's you. You're withholding the Holy One of Israel is what it says. He doesn't have a goodness meter. I go, you've been pretty good, man. But you blew it. Now you got to get that thing back up. That destroys faith. That is not preaching that you have the title deed. That means you still have to earn the title deed. It's a condition of your heart. So just know you're loved, you're righteous, you're rich, you're prosperous. God made you perfect in him. Does that make sense? There's nothing you could ever do to displease him. That'll get you thrown out of a church too. Yeah, Jesus said, that was my message. Does that help? Okay, get to your feet. So I hope that helps. I went a little long, sorry. Hallelujah. Is this good news though? Hey, beware of the leaven of the Pharisee, man. Don't let your Bible, what do you call them? Don't let the church lady at your Bible study put you back under the law. You know what I'm talking about, the church lady. Satan? You know that? You know what I would tell you to do? Leave! Because you got to guard your heart when you're around people like that. Leave! Because if it starts affecting your heart, you know what I would tell you to do? Hey, I love you because I'm supposed to love all of you, but I'm just leaving because it's more fun over here. Is that Oh, is this okay, guys? You guys, is this real? Okay, all right, because Jesus said, believe the gospel of the kingdom. Repent, change what you believe. Just believe me. I am the gospel, Jesus Christ, right? Okay, Father, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you. We just thank you that these people can't get any more anointed, any more beautiful, any more loved, any more prosperous than you've already made them. You've justified them, you've glorified them. We just thank you for that. Let that sink into their hearts, Lord, that they can just freely receive all of the worthiness that you made them worthy for, all the prosperity you made them prosperous for, all the honor that you made them worthy of. Because same thing that's true about Jesus is true about every one of these. We just thank you, Father. We're going to see miracle after miracle, miracle, when they just start changing their heart. And then we just thank you for that in Jesus' magnificent name. Amen, amen. You're released in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.